Okay, let's come in from fishing. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I told Brother Josh, I said, what I studied, I'm not speaking on. I said, the Lord just does that. But they're going to put a picture up here. And, you know, sometimes in our walk with God, we fall more in love with stuff. His creation than we do Him. But at whatever point, the reason I moved this little podium is because I want to give you some room. Whatever point tonight, no music. See, it don't take three songs to get God's Spirit moving. It don't take the lights being set right. It don't take everything being set right for God to move. What it takes is a willing heart to allow Him to move. But we find that we are more in love with stuff than Him. You know, it don't matter if we call Him Almighty God, Yahweh, Jehovah. God has many names. But one thing that the Lord has arrested my soul in since Sunday is we need to be able to go from a busy, just working, all out doing what we have to do throughout the day, to instantly being able to find ourselves in His presence. Because if we cannot do that, I'm talking about you might be having a worst day of your life. We better be able to go from having the worst day of our life to instantly finding ourselves in the presence of God without a song. Because that's what it's coming to. We better learn not only how to do that, we better learn how to trust one another, be willing to work together, and share God's word one with the other like never before. And I'm not talking about in a church setting. Because the way the world's going, there might come a time that we won't be able to meet like we are tonight. But one thing we can rest assured of, that God will always be there for His people. But I want you to look at this picture. Just look at the waves. I was standing up Sunday morning, and I began to just look at that picture. And a while ago, as I began to get ready, the Lord just brought this back to my remembrance. He said, I want you to visualize the picture you watched Sunday morning. And if you notice, some of these waves are bigger than others. You know, these are really not big. You know, you could be riding in a boat. In a wake, your boat throws. When it hits the bank, it'll break. But as I was watching this picture, God said, see it? If you notice, at different times, some break out, some break close in, and some break in between. He said, I have control of that. He said, I'm in charge of that. I determine how big the wave's going to be. I determine where it's going to break. I determine how long it's going to break. See, I've been out in 2,000-3,000 foot of water in a storm come up. See, it don't always take rocks, land, or a sandbar for the waves to have whitecaps. But I've been out in 2,000-3,000 foot of water, and a storm come up and waves has whitecaps. God controls that. And I just simply just asked the Lord, okay, Father, well, where are you going with this? He said, I control a lot of things in the world. He said, but what man controls is at what time, what place, and what reason you're going to worship me. What time, what place, and what reason you're going to give me honor. What time, what place, and what reason you're going to give me glory. And if we think about it, just think about it. How often or how much time do we spend in our week or in our day honoring God and giving Him glory? When we compare it to the time we do other things, it's a little. See, we control that. It's our choice. But we got to understand, it's not about serving creation. It's about our Creator. You know what I'm so thankful for? That when God made the seas, and He made the land, and He formed the earth, all of His creation, He spoke into existence till He got to you and I. But when He got to man, He took time out. He knelt on the ground. And He formed us in His likeness, in His image. And see, that's not even the amazing part. The amazing part's when He breathed breath into us. And man became a living soul. But He made us with a free will. He made us to where we can make up our own mind. To where we can make our own decisions. See, there's a lot of things in this world that God has full control of. But when it comes to man serving Him, we control that. Because He gave us our own free will. And at any point, at any time, we can choose to worship Him. We could choose to honor Him. Or choose not to. But the question is, you know, if you look like off in a distance, you can see like way out where some of these waves are breaking. You know, most of them break when they hit the bank. But I guess what we have to ask ourselves is, what does it take? What I have to ask myself is, what does it take for me to want to honor God? Does it take His stuff? Or does it just take the fact that He's my Father, and one day I'm going to be a part of His kingdom? You know, sometimes we don't treat God like He's our Father. Sometimes we treat Him like He's a stranger. But let me tell you something. If you go to your Father's house, I said, if you go to your father's house and there's something that you want, you get it. You wouldn't walk into a stranger's house and go to the refrigerator and just grab anything you wanted without asking. But in your father's house, you could go to the refrigerator and you get what you want to drink out of there. There might be a good fresh pot of coffee just been made. You can go and you could pour you a cup. You know, if we could do that with our natural father, with our natural mom and dad, what's holding us back to coming to God's house? What's holding us back when we're driving down the highway? Or we might be riding in a boat. Or we might be home washing dishes. From just allowing ourselves to just get into that place of God's presence. And just honoring Him. And just giving Him all the glory. Just giving Him praise. Just worshiping Him. See, what causes that is our will has to be to do the will of the Father. We gotta want it. We gotta quit treating God like He's a stranger. And be willing to just walk into His presence. Say, how hard is it to get into God's presence? It's not hard at all. We got to be willing to let go of everything else and allow His presence just to show up and begin to minister and allow us to just honor Him. You see, that's what God's looking for. It's in everything that we do. We need to honor God in everything. You know, trouble, situations, sickness, those things causes people to want to pray. But you know what gives God glory? You know what gives God honor? Is when there's no sickness. When there's no trouble. When we're not struggling. To just honor Him. See, we find it a whole lot easier to want to be in God's presence if we're going through something. But what about when we just, everything's going good. Everything's going right. To just begin to give Him all the glory. And the reason that I moved this little podium is that any time while I'm speaking, we're not singing a song. Because look, we could have dimmed the lights. We could have sang three songs. And we could have got the mood right. But if God can't get it right, three songs ain't going to help us. But what we have to do is learn that at any time to just walk into God's presence. You know, some of the best times I've ever had with my father, there was no music. There was nobody around. And all of a sudden, His presence just would show up. But you see, I control whether I step into it or step back away from it. And God's looking for us to step into it. Because only Him, only God, is going to be able to help us in a lot of things we're going to go through. You know, I told some guys Just the other day, we were talking about old times. And I said, you know what's sad? I said, what's sad is we were willing to repeat everything we heard because somebody read a scripture with it. And that's what we lived by for years. I said, but people are scared to go back to God's word with an open mind and start in the beginning. Said, you know what's sad? When somebody repeats what Jesus said and they get looked at like, what is he doing? Said, but we'll repeat what people say for years. Why? Because it sounded good, it felt good, and it seemed to fit. But sometimes the truth of God's word, see, we can swallow what sounds good. We could swallow what feels good. We could swallow what tastes good. But sometimes when we got to change the lifestyle we're living or change what we're doing, it's harder to swallow it. You know, sometimes we just need to take God's word and start chewing on it. Sometimes it might get a little chewy. But don't spit it out. You know, I could take anything and make it sound the way I want it. I said, but when you say what God said, when you start repeating what Jesus said, when you start seeing what the word of God really means, then you got people that comes against you. I said, but the fact of the matter is because they're too lazy to go back and read the Bible as a book and go with the open mind and allow God to show them what they hadn't seen before. Because we got comfortable just repeating. You know, when Pastor spoke about the earth, there's over 400 scripture in a library of the government to back that we live in a square and flat earth. Just go look for it. You'll find it. You'll see it. But last week, I was out running my traps. And I normally don't go from one section to the other running on a golf. And that day, just being led by the Spirit, the Lord just spoke. He said, go run on a golf. It was a clear morning. You could see a long way. And I got out to the golf. He said, now look. And you could see the platforms way out. He said, now look again. Not only could I see, naturally, when we look at something far away, we look for the height of it. We have a tendency of looking at the top of it. He said, now look straight and look at the bottom. You could literally see where that platform met the water. He said, how can the earth be round? See, a lot of times, if we'll just ask him, he'll show us. But when we ask, we need to prepare ourselves for the answer. You know, there's scripture that says the four corners of the earth. You know, and if God made all of that for us, you know, think about all of the creation. God made it for us. And then he made man. But because man believed the lie. Because they believed the lie. All it took was one lie to cause the world to be in the shape it's in. Because from that lie it led to another one, then another one. And once you tell one, you got to keep telling them to cover up. But it's time that we take our eyes off of the creation and just focus on who he is You know, I'm so happy. I'm so excited to be a part of God's kingdom. No, one day, and it's not far off. Said it's not far off. We'll rule and reign with our Savior. I said we'll rule and reign with our Savior. So if you ever think, well, I just don't have nothing to praise about. I just don't have nothing to be excited about. I just don't have nothing to honor God about. Think about it one day. We're going to hear the trumpet sound. Oh my. One day we're going to hear the trumpet sound. You know, and this morning, I was just sitting home drinking a cup of coffee and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I can call a pastor and it can be somewhere that I've never been before and say, hey, I want to come and preach. And you start preaching prosperity. You start preaching, you just come to this meeting and you'll prosper. And you can take a building of 40 or 50 people and in a few weeks fill it up because of a prosperity message. Because the people in the world, the world's point of view, in the world's eyes, people want more, 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 more when it comes to the natural. And you can fill a church up. But see, in the process, you got to compromise the word of God. In the process, you got to be willing to change what it really says. But see, the sad thing about doing that is when the evangelist leaves. Look, you have one of those, what they call a Holy Ghost revival. You get people from other churches saying, the Lord just spoke, tell me to start coming here. You know what's sad? Most pastors don't even check out why they're coming. They don't go and say, well, you know, hey, did you leave your church in a proper way? See, it don't take a whole lot of effort to build a church. I'm talking about to fill a church with people. It don't. You go start a new work somewhere, and because it's a new building, people will come. Or you get a new pastor, people will come. But what I'm talking about is building God's kingdom. Standing on the truth of God's word, speaking what it says. You know, there was this comment made the other night. Well, there's coming a time we won't be able to talk about homosexuality. I said, well, maybe in the eyes of the government. But the real question is, are we willing to take the word of God and stand on what the word of God says and speak against it? Well, you could go to jail for that. That ain't what I asked. I asked, are we going to be willing to speak against what God's against? You know, just because the government said it's okay, don't make it right. Because it's an abomination in the sight of God. And it's not the way God designed man and woman. You know, just because what we're going to do if the government says you can't serve God no more, just throw your Bibles away and quit serving God? You know, sometimes we got to ask ourselves that question. should that happen, what am I going to do? Can I still trust my father? Can I still honor my father? You know, people's just, you go around and just listen to people talk. And some people just don't know what they're going to do. You know, then I asked this question. I said, if 75% of America's Christians, how come America's in the shape it's in? Somebody's not grabbing hold of the truth of God's word. Somebody's not hearing God. But the real deal is, we got to be willing. You know, we find ourselves so willing to do so many things in the natural and just busy ourselves naturally with so many things. But are we willing to busy ourselves honoring our Father? You know, I thank God in our staff meeting, I began to think about when I first got saved at the age of 14. You know what kept us? Because there were some moms and dads that was willing to stay up in the wee hours of the morning and call out our name. There were some moms and dads willing to cry out to God on our behalf. There were some moms and dads willing to take a stand and said, this is how it's going to be. We weren't asked, do you want to go to church? We weren't asked, do you want to participate in what the youth were doing? It became a part of our everyday life. Look, I watched over the years, I've watched right here in this church, some of my nieces and nephews, some of my cousins got handed one little part. How am I going to learn that? I ain't have but three lines on it. Brother Eddie, how many times we was handed 15, 20 pages? And out of that 20 pages, three or four of them was ours to learn. We knew better to go and say, "What? How do they think I'm supposed to learn all this?" No, we done. We found time. And we started going over it. We started rehearsing it. We started doing what it said. And we started memorizing it. I'm not talking about, we didn't hold up a sign with all our parts wrote on the back. And sometimes we only had 3 weeks to do it. But it wasn't a choice. Said it wasn't a choice. If you can't participate in church, you're not going to participate in everything else. But you know what? It taught us how to know who God is. It taught us how to respect our Father. It taught us how to respect our Savior. And it made us want to just continue to do more, 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 and more. We were involved, I'd say, in more stuff in church than in school and all this other stuff. Listen, football and baseball didn't just start when my kids were born. It's been here for a long time. But because we were taught the principle at home of what it was to serve God and put Him first, we've seen the responsibility of putting God first, and then all this other stuff comes later. Now it's when, if I have time, I'm going to do the other stuff. I'm going to do all my stuff. Then if I have time, I'll do what God wants me to do. You know, we better be willing in this day and time. There's a lot of people, not only your family, there's a lot of people that we as in this church have met over the years that depends on us. And we better be in a place to find time to begin to be able to change our schedule at any time God says go and be willing to go. Or it might just be a phone call. It might be a text. It might just be a simple message. But we need to find time to send it. You know, you don't just think about telling somebody you love them, telling somebody you're praying for them, and they know it. Sometimes you got to just put your little fingers to work with all the technology we have, and just it might just be a little text. Hey, praying for you and I love you. We'll never know how far that goes, because at the time, most of the time when that happens, that person's waiting to hear that. But how can we hear or be led by God's Spirit to do that when it's so difficult to be led by His Spirit to just honor Him? I'm talking about just be able to find thyself in a place to just worship God. You know what some of our best services has ever been? It started in a kitchen with a group of about 10, 12 young people crying out to God in a kitchen in the back of the church. And an adult would come up and say, hey, just take what we're feeling and take it out to the auditorium. And we would just see the hand of God just perform miracle after miracle, and just God begin to move, and people get saved. And just, but see, it took some time. We need to get rid of our microwave mentality. Somebody said something the other day about spaghetti sauce. Worst thing ever in the world ever happened with spaghetti sauce is when they come out with ragu. I said, you want some spaghetti sauce? You go to the store and you get you some seasoning. And you get you some tomato paste. And you get you some sauce. And about 4.5 hours later, you'll have a real spaghetti sauce. And that man looked at me and said, that's the problem. We don't have 4.5 hours. Well, you don't want real spaghetti sauce. Because let me tell you, to get it right, it takes time. See, anybody could go and get some Rouchards and Savoy's roux mix. But if you want a real roux, it takes some time. It takes some stirring. It takes some heat. But you see, we've carried that mentality into the church. Well, Lord, if we don't get it quick, we're just not going to get it. Listen, we don't serve a microwave God. And I was cooking the other day, and I cooked the shrimp stew. And I ain't had nothing done till we got in from fishing. I still had to cook the roux. Well, how long is it going to take? Well, it depends how good you want it. If you want it right, it's going to take a little while. If you want a TV dinner, you should have called me. We could have popped you some in the microwave. and everybody would be eating about now. But if you want real Cajun cooking, just go get you a snack and just relax. We had a couple that didn't eat seafood. They were so glad. They just went and get them something else. See, sometimes to get to the point, to the place that God has for us, it takes a little while. And are we willing to do that? You know, are we willing to just honor Him? You know, all God's asking for us just to honor Him. Just give Him the glory. You know, look. And Pastor said it many times, the man that Uncle Jesse pulled out the water. For years, every place he seen him, he'd run up and hug him and say, thank you. That's what Jesus done for us. Listen, at the age of 14, I was going down for the last time. But about 1 o'clock in the morning, on a Tuesday night, well, it was a Wednesday morning, in a skiff, running through Delta's Pass. I had an all of a sudden moment. Only time I ever been to church was for a wedding or a funeral. Listen, funerals don't even bring people to church no more. I remember as a teenager, somebody in a family died, a whole church filled up the next couple Sundays. Now they don't even show up. But I remember running up that pass. And I'm running, and I seen, listen, I wasn't even saved and had a vision. But God knew what He was doing. I was running, and there was a pipe there, and it just, I turned, and just as it slid down the side of the boat, there was a spirit that said, just that quick, your life could have been gone. But if you'll serve me, you won't fear death. I'm telling you, it scared me. It scared me so much that the next day when I got up, I said, I'm going to church tonight. And I remember walking in that church in Venice on a Wednesday night. And there was something that happened. Something in my heart changed that wasn't there before. And I'll never forget on the Sunday morning, I walked in that church again. And before the service was over, I found myself kneeling down at an altar. And from that day on, my life had never been the same. There were some trials. There were some struggles. And there was a point for about a year that I thought, I just can't do this no more. And I walked away from God. But thank God for grace. I said, thank God for grace. But let me tell you something. For 1 year, Brother Scott, in a backslidden stage, knew if I died, I'd be lost and undone without God. There was not a day that went by for that year that God never tugged. There was not a day that went by that I didn't feel by His Spirit, you're not living right. But you got to make up your mind. See, it don't take God long. And in 1987, That was the year this church started, right? About 5 o'clock in the morning, in a little trailer park across from Adams Grocery, I woke up . My wife was still sleeping. We had Christopher. And I stepped in a shower, and God's Spirit showed up. And he said, "Son, from this day forth, your life will never be the same. It's going to get better. Or it's going to get worse. But today is decision day. Today is time for you to make up your mind whether you're going to serve me or not." And I remember walking in that old building. And I sat on this side about the third row up. And really, in all honesty, when I walked into the door, I shouldn't have stopped till I got to the altar. But I made it through song service. And I went. Then I made it through the preaching. And I went. But there was just something that wouldn't go away. And our pastor stood behind that pulpit. He said, "God ain't done, and we ain't leaving." And it wasn't a whole lot of people there, but everybody just turned around and looked at me. Because everybody knew. And I remember just turning around right at my seat. And I knelt down right where I was. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I don't know how to do this. But if you'll teach me, if you'll show me, I'll live for you and I'll do what you called me to do." And it's been a journey ever since. But I had to come to a realization in my life of who God was. He wasn't just the creator. He didn't just cause creation. But he molded me and made me. He molded you and made you in his likeness, in his image. And he breathed his breath into us. And we became a living soul. And we have so much. Listen to me. We have so much to honor God for. And listen, if your prayer has been, "Lord, come, Lord, hurry up and come," what you need to do is start changing your prayer. So, "Lord, show me how to reach lost people. We don't have a whole lot of time. Lord, show me and speak through me. Live through me. So that those that are lost and undone without you will see Jesus in my life." See, it's not about what we have. It's not about where we live. And let me tell you something. For years, not only in the church world, but in the secular world, in the school system, Bayou people got looked down on. For years, you know what this area was known as? Those dumb Cajuns. Thank God I was smart enough one day to accept Jesus as my Savior. And let me tell you something. I'll never forget this, and I shared this before, and I feel led by the Spirit to share it again. I seen a vision of this church. You know, past the scene where we had the arrows going out, reaching, touching America. But I seen a vision of the people of this church. Not in the river, going downstream. Because listen to me. Anybody, you can go up where the river starts, and anybody could get on a boat or get on a log and make it to Venice. Just let the current take you, and it'll take you wherever it goes. But you know what? It takes motivation. It takes putting forth an effort to go upstream. But I seen this church going upstream, and I seen lives being changed. And that's what God's preparing us for. The reason he's saying, honor me, worship me, give me glory, give me praise, is because when we get to where we got to go, when we come in contact to the people that we have to come in contact with, we'll be able to teach them through all the struggles, through all the hardships, through losing everything, we still was able to worship God. You know, don't come and tell me, listen. And I had people tell me, you know, we rebuilding a building and I know what you're going through. No, you don't know what I'm going through, because you're rebuilding a building because you chose to. We're rebuilding because we have nothing. All we have is God. You know, that day when everything was gone, everything was destroyed, all we had was God. And I'll never forget, I had my little 2-minute moment sitting underneath an oak tree in Tallahassee, Florida. And the Lord spoke these words to me. He said, okay, you've been discouraged long enough. I walked inside and I looked at that picture, and my house was under the water. And I seen all the devastation throughout the parish. And I walked outside, and for 2 minutes, I just questioned the Lord. He said, you had your moment. Now you have a choice. You can do this with me or without me. And if you'll do it with me, I'll lead you every step of the way, and I'll make a way where there seems to be no way, and I'll be your strength. See, we never had stuff to depend on. We never had nothing tangible to come back and grab a hold to. All we had was God. And listen, the shape of this world, the condition this world's headed, there might come a time that we won't have this freedom to just walk into the church and honor God. But we got to be in a place with him that nobody, whether it's government, any kind of authority, whether it's family, friends, that nobody could take what he gave us. It's got to be implanted right here. Said it has to be implanted right here. And we better learn how to hold on to it. And we better keep on just filling all we can. Just continue to fill up every day. Fill up with God's word, because it's going to be God's word in his presence that we learn how to just honor him when we're all alone and nobody else is around. And allow his spirit to strengthen us and keep us, because that's what it's going to take to see us through. But if we'll trust God and we'll go with him, we will reach lost souls across America. But we gotta want it. My prayer ain't, Lord Jesus, come. It's, God, show me how to reach that one that's lost and undone without you. You know why? Because I know what it's like to be in that place. I know what it's like. You know, people always want to talk about the bad things. Listen, I know what it's like to have a pastor come and tell you you're not welcome in the church anymore. But you know what I remember more than that? I know what it's like to have a father send his spirit and say, I love you and I care about you. I know what it's like to walk down to an old-fashioned altar and that man that witnessed and said, babe, I love you. Jesus loves you. And I'm praying for you, and you could do something in your life. I know what it's like when I was down at that altar and I felt that hand right in the middle of my back. And nobody had to tell me who it was. I knew it was Papa Bill. There wasn't a day that I've seen him that he didn't tell me, I'm praying for you. All you got to do is just accept Jesus, and everything in your life will be different. And he was so right. See, not just accept him, we got to fall in love with him. So we got to fall in love with him. Because that's what causes our relationship, is through Jesus to get to the Father. And just fall in love with Him. And He'll love us so much that there will be nothing that could separate us from His love. You say, well, you speak in some mighty bold words. Listen to me. My Bible tells me if I fall in love with God, He will love me back so much, nothing will be able to separate me from Him. But I got to want Him. I said, I got to want Him. It's kind of like when you first seen your wife. You know how many you looked at and said, I just got to have her. That's what my wife done. She looked at me and said, I just got to have Him. You know, we got to look at God and say, I just got to serve Him. I just got to stay with Him. Just got to continue to be His child. See, it's our choice. Said it's our choice. But we got to want it. Every day, it has to be renewed daily. A daily renewing of who God is in our life. And He will keep us. He will strengthen us. Listen, you can feel like you are the weakest you've ever been. In a moment, God will show up and you'll just feel so powerful. You'll feel His presence so strong. But we just got to want Him. So let's all stand. Let's just take a moment before we leave. Just God, give God some honor.
Brother Troy's going to pray, but he mentioned something just a moment ago, you know, in his whole experience. I remember that service. I tried to close three times, and the Lord says, what are you doing? You know, this is a time that I've already orchestrated. And those are the times that I learned a lot. But I want just to tell everybody, there's been some moments in God that we've come through, some phases of the Spirit that's been powerful. We've seen God do some powerful things. We've seen lives change. We've seen miracles. And we've come, and I was riding in the boat, and I was on my way out, and I said, God, you know, what is going on? You know, how do we, where we are, what's happening? You know, are we on the right track? Because it appears to me we're off the track. And this is what the Lord said. And I'll read it exactly what He said to me right there. He said this: for the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that's exactly what the Lord said to me. You stay on track. It appears you're off track because how people respond. People respond because we're looking for something and you're not going to find it. What we're going to have to endure is sound teaching. And that's what happens. And Timothy said they won't endure it. They won't stick it out. And I can only tell you, the only thing that's kept us all these years is just forgetting our feelings and going right back to the Word. Even the stuff we didn't even know. But it was enough understanding in it to get us to the day we needed to get through. But I'm going to tell you, to get through what Brother Troy has been telling us and exhorting us all this service, what's coming, we're going to have to get some sound teaching. You got to know what verses mean. You got to know why he said that. And I know sometimes it seems like it's wow, it's way out there. And to everybody said, why we don't know this from a long time? I'm going to tell you. If you're looking for somebody to tell you what you want to hear, you're going to find them. You see something, and that's what they'll search out somebody who will tell them exactly what they want to hear. But with that, if you continue reading in Timothy there, you'll find out that all the things that we were delivered from the curse all come back on the people. It's like going back to Babylon. And I'm telling you, we don't want to do that. So, yeah, it's going to be challenging. But it's those moments, it's that intimacy with God. It's those moments when you choose to say, you know what? I'm not going to question God's word. I'm going to step in and let him do what he does. And I said to the Lord going out, I said, God, I'm not going to ask you again. I'm not asking him again. I'm going to keep doing what he told me. Because I just come out and asked him, you know, am I crazy? Because I look at people and how they respond, and I'm wanting something different. I'm wanting to see, let's go. Let's just, you know, when I dig in the word, that's how I am. I'm 100 miles an hour in it. I can go for hours going from one verse to the next verse, and it all ties together. Because I have to check myself to make sure that what I'm saying is correct. I'm asking you, and that's what Brother Troy has exhorted us the entire time. You decide to step into those moments with God and let the word then be poured in you. And that's what's happening. It's being written on the tables of our heart. And when he said that, you know, when you think about what God did, the Ruach, the breath, the Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, this is powerful stuff, but it has to be something you seek after. Allow the Holy Spirit to let it just, and that's what it does. It moves. When you have these encounters, and some of you probably have your own personal testimonies, but let me tell you, it don't go away. You can be in a boat. You can be down Delta's path. It don't go away. You want it to go away. You try to shake your head and say, I'm seeing things. You rub your eyes. It doesn't go away. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the kind of things that we have to pursue. And let it feed you. I'm going to tell you, if you fight it, you can't do anything. You don't rest right, none of that. But the moment you give into it, the peace of God comes that passes all understanding. So I want to encourage you. Let's do as we've been exhorted. You decide to step into that moment, that intimacy with God, where you pursue and say, Lord, let it become real to me. But I asked the Lord. I mean, the first thing I did, I said, God, what is going on? Because I'm wanting to see, where's the urgency here? The word is the urgent word. But where's our urgency to respond with it? And that's when the Lord told me, he said, there's going to come a time they won't endure sound teaching. I pray that none of us will walk away from the sound teaching of the Lord. Because what's real is going to last. I don't care how crazy you think it might sound to you. You say, well, I never heard this. All I'm telling you is go back and look at it. Because that's exactly what's going to keep people. The same old is all in the past. He's raising up. And it's not something new. It's not a brand new word. It's been there. The same stuff. It's just a revelation. A revealing of it. An unfolding, as it were. So I could tell you, it's amazing how God delivers the word and how it comes forth. And I was glad that Brother Troy shared that part of his testimony and how, because that's what we have to get back to. I remember this when he was talking. I remember kneeling by these little folding chairs. And you know, folding chairs, these metal chairs. And I remember us as teenagers putting puddles in the butt part there, the folding chair, tears. But we was after something, but we didn't know. We didn't have a whole lot of teaching. We knew one thing. He was real. And if he could be real to us, we didn't have the games and all that stuff, the iPads and iPhones and Nintendos. We didn't have that. But we was in that chair with that folding chair, and I believe that God saw those moments. He said, that's my generation. That's my generation. I'm going to raise that generation up. That's going to be the ones that I'm going to come back during that time. And let me tell you something. It was something about it. You would get in that room and you didn't want to get out. It was that powerful. It was so strong. And that's what Brother Troy is exhorting us. You know, do you want that? Or do you want to handle it? You can. And it'll be tough. Or you can just walk in the Spirit. And so we walk in the Spirit. He tells us automatically, if you do that, you're not going to fulfill the deeds of the flesh. You're just not going to. So you're going to win that. But the stuff that comes with it is a powerful. And so I remember those moments. I can't tell you how many. I mean, we went on this one campaign. We got on our bikes. And we said, we're going to witness. See how many people we can witness to. This were kids. And we didn't know what we were doing. But there was something that God had his hand on our life. There was something about it. But there was like this, all of a sudden, we wasn't embarrassed. We weren't not most outspoken, but for that particular time, we went to everybody. I mean, we'd wait outside the door to LZ Marine. The guy, we don't know who these people. They walk out, and we say, hey, we just come to tell you Jesus loves you. And we witnessed to hundreds of people on a single day, not two or three. And if you went, they walked out, we'd run them down on a bike. And we say, wait up, hold up, hold up. And they was like, who's these kids? And we weren't playing. There was no game to us. We weren't out there. This was something that happened. And I was sitting there and I said, Lord, what was going on? We didn't even know it then. But now you start thinking about it. And you, can you ask this question? Is God saying that's the generation? I preserved that generation for such a time as this so the word can be released. And this is, I tell you, I don't know how we can't at least pose those questions about that, considering that even in our not even knowing, all we knew was something there and we was after it. We was hungry for it. And then here we are, all those years later. We could have left it, went off, and some tried. But it was always a preservation. God always preserved his word. He said he would. And so I just wanted to mention that because I just got finished asking God. I was like, Lord, I'm looking out. Look how amazing you are. And I just said, am I nuts? Because I sure feel like it. Feel like I've lost my mind. Because, you feel like you're on an island, the only guy saying it. Are you real? What's going on here? And that was the one scripture. I hadn't read that scripture in a while. And the Lord, resounds that scripture to me. He just tells me, son, this is where you at. They won't endure sound doctrine. And I hope that's not us. I hope that we'll endure it. There'll be some, he said, they won't endure it. Because they want some other teaching. They want something that makes, they don't have to, no change. I just can keep doing what I'm doing. And tell me something that makes me feel good about me, where I'm at. But I don't want to just feel good about where I'm at. I want to feel good because I know I've honored the Lord. And he's done all the promises that he's ever promised me. He's come through. And I want to come through with what I promised him. And that's to stand faithful. So I want to just share that before we pray.
If you're here, you might be struggling, might be going through a difficult time in your life, but the real deal is, am I going to make up my mind to go with God 100%? Listen, in those times, there was a classroom in the back of the Venice Church. I'm talking about the old Venice Church. Old wooden building. And there was a kitchen. But if somebody walked in there and they were struggling, we spent hours praying until there was breakthrough. It wasn't now I lay me down asleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. I'm talking about it was grabbing a hold of who God was. And many times until there was breakthrough, we never got up. I could tell you many services, adults would have to come back there and cause see, we even played music. Well, let me just say we beat music. But we were willing to do whatever it took. But many times, there was an adult would come in that room and say, hey, church just started. and it would go. We didn't leave what God was doing locked up in that room. Like a lot of people across America today, we want to go to church, but we want to leave God at church. You know, I'm only there for a couple hours, and I'm going to be in your presence, but I'll see you next time. Every place we went, the Spirit of God was. And you might be here tonight. You might be going through something in your life. We want to just pray with you. We want to come in agreement with you. Listen, I remember service after service. Day after. Look, we didn't have cell phones. You had to, if you were riding your bike, you had to go find the phone somewhere if you had a need. If you wanted to call somebody, or you had to go to their house. You had to spend time together. See, that's the key. We leave church now and we just want to go to our own house. See, we knew what people in our church back then was going through because we spent time with them. We knew what it was to spend time with God. You know, I remember kneeling down at the sofa in the living room for prayer time, for time of devotions. And you kneel in there, and all of a sudden, you only got up from devotion and prayer time once to answer the door. Because after you got what you got the first time, they could knock till their hand was bleeding. You wasn't getting up till the prayer was over. Because it meant something. Now every little thing distracts us. There has to be no more distractions between us and God. It's like every little thing, every chance we get, we just allow something to distract our God time. But we knew. See, it done something. Said it done something. And it taught us to know the difference. Because the Bible says, try the spirits. So we got to make sure it's God. We got to know it's God. You say, well, what causes you to know when it's God and when it's not? Relationship. Relationship. You got to know the difference between God's spirit and the devil's spirit. Because he tries to copy and tell people he's God and he's not. But the relationship causes you to be able to tell the difference. But if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, it don't matter what it is. You say, well, what can God do? God can do whatever we allow him and trust him to do. But more than anything, we got to want him. See, listen. There was 10 lepers. 10 of them. And the Bible says they came to Jesus and all 10 were made whole. The Bible says they went away. And one realized he was healed. 10 were healed. You know there's a difference between being healed and being made whole? And sometimes we accept being healed when God wants to make us whole, and we just take that healing and we live the rest of our life with it, and we don't allow God to complete the miracle he wants to complete in us because he wants to make us whole. But the The Bible says one came back. See, if it's 10. I said, if it's 10, how easy is it? But one came to a realization in his life. He said, you know what? I'm healed, but I still look like a leper. People still treat me like I have leprosy, even though I was healed. So I'm going to go back. The Bible says he came back and he approached Jesus and he fell down and he began to worship him and he began to honor him. And Jesus, in turn, made him whole. See, let's quit being satisfied just being healed and allow God to make us whole. And that's what he wants to do tonight. He wants to make us whole. Complete the miracle in our life. See, we control whether or not that happens. The other nine chose not to. They chose to just go on. Because they, listen, there was one looking for a relationship. But there was nine looking for a feel-good moment. You know, and we just simply have to ask ourselves the question tonight, why did I come to church? Did I come to see how good it's going to make me feel? Or did I come because I want a relationship more than ever before with my Father? It's got to be about relationship. Listen, I told somebody not long ago, the reason I was only supposed to be married 6 months. It's good 32 years. But there's a reason for it, because of a relationship. The reason we serve God has to be about relationship. Because there's things I'll do for my wife that I won't do for no other woman. There's places I'll go with my wife that I won't go with no other woman. Because there's a relationship. And even more than husband and wife, God wants a relationship with you and I. But see, what hinders our relationship with God is a lot of times there's areas in our life that we won't allow God to go. But we got to give him every part of it. Every moment of it. Every day of it. Every year of it. You know why a pastor walked to my workplace and he looked me dead in my eye and he said, we don't want you at church no more and we don't need you? It's because he had the wrong heart attitude. But when he walked away, there was a visitation from my Father. And he spoke these words. He said, man might have given up. He said, but I called you, and my gifts and callings are without repentance, and it don't matter how man feels, I chose you. So I want a relationship with you. And see, you might have been hurt. You might have been crumbled up like an old filthy rag, an old used up piece of paper, and felt like it was thrown in the garbage. But God never threw you away. I literally got thrown away by man. But you know what God done? He picked that paper up and he began to straighten it up. And he said, I'm going to take what's wrong and make it right. But it was all because of a relationship. And that's the key to being successful serving God. Is a relationship with him like never before. Daily. Hourly. At any given moment. We need to be in a place with God that his spirit will just show up. But we got to be willing to spend time with him. So if you're here and you need prayer, just come up out of your seat. We're going to agree with you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. God, I thank you for everyone that is here tonight. And I'm asking you, Father, as we leave this place, that we not leave you. But we have such a relationship that every place we go from this night forth, you're right there beside us. God, that we want a closer relationship from this night forth than we've ever had with you. God, that you would just begin to lead us and direct us, that you would open up the mind of our understanding like never before to who you are and what your word is telling us, and that we would be willing that no matter what the cost, God, that we'll take your word for what it is and live by it and stand on it and apply it to our lives and share it with everybody we get a chance to. Father, we honor you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.